The Fan on Demand. Well, looky here. We got a fancy pants newspaper writer slumming it with us radio boys. Extra, extra, read all about it. This is the Jeff Blair Show.
On Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Well, you know what they say? All's well that ends well. Okay, relax. It only goes, it gets better from this point on. I hear crickets. Welcome to the Jeff Blair Show. And, the big sports news in Toronto this weekend. Somebody in the Leafs apparently, Mike Komisarek, ran into a little issue on a dance floor. We'll talk about that later on. But the big story in Toronto, anyhow, was the surprise trade on Friday of Vernon Wells to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. God knows why they want that contract, but they've got it. The Jays get Mike Napoli and Juan Rivera in return. And, you know, I look outside. It's cold. It's cold as hell, frankly. It was snowing early. I don't know what it's doing now. It's nice to talk about baseball on a day like this. And, frankly, if you're a Blue Jays fan, great to talk about a trade like this. Great to talk about Vernon Wells and that contract going to Anaheim. And we're very pleased at this time to be joined by the man who made the deal, Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos.
Glad to be on, Jeff.
Now, I guess the first question, when I look at the trade, obviously there's an economic component to it. That goes without saying. But my sense is that initially people have sort of overlooked the players that are coming to Toronto. And I've got to think that when I look at the way the Blue Jays are structured right now, a guy like Mike Napoli is hugely useful to this team this season.
There's no doubt. Both players are very good players. And Mike Napoli, he's always had very good power and has always done so in less than really 500 at-bats or so. And we think getting out of that ballpark, coming into our park, the fact that he can catch, the fact that he can play first, he can DH, he fits in a lot of ways, hits left-handers very, very well, which obviously we were last in the American League in that department as well. And you know, you lose 31 home runs that Vernon provided us last year. A guy like Mike in some capacity can absolutely make up for that. And he also has a pretty good on-base percentage. He walks as well. So there's a lot of value there. And even a guy like Juan Rivera had a down year last year, still hit, I believe it was 15 home runs last year and 300 at-bats. You know, the year before he had a very good season. He's only 32. He's in a free agent year. Should be very motivated to have a big year for us and has played all three outfield spots in the past. And one other guy that from a left-handed example, you know, as a right-handed hitter, he can also hit a left-hander as well. So we think we definitely got some talent back in this trade.
I mean, Alex, does Napoli give you a little bit of a cushion almost at first base if Adam Lind can't make the transition? Or would you even at this point, if it's obvious early in spring training that Adam Lind is having trouble, would you just sort of say right away Mike Napoli's at first base and Adam is back to DH, or you know what I'm saying? Or would you give it a while to play out?
You know, that's something that we'd really have to see if we felt he was making strides or not. That's something we would obviously sit down as a group with John Farrell and our entire coaching staff. We would definitely like to give Adam a good run at it. But again, I guess it remains to be seen. And if it's very obvious, but I just think on the short look we had last season in the 12 starts or so, we felt that there was some promise there. So Adam's going to be willing to work at it. We would expect him to continue to improve each day. But, you know, we'll have 7 weeks in the spring to evaluate it, so we'll have plenty of time. Either way, it's nice to have a guy like Napoli that can play all those positions because Adam struggled against the left-handers last year, Lynn did, having a guy like, obviously, Napoli that can spell so many players, whether it is behind the plate, first, and DH, with that power bat and the on-base percentage that he brings, is very appealing to us.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Alex, what was the genesis of this deal? When did the Angels first talk to you about Vernon Wells? Because frankly, like a lot of people, I think I assume this was really one of the more untradeable contracts in baseball.
You know, I always talk about, as GMs, we all just kick tires and just float ideas and names. And I had probably two or three clubs early in the offseason just float out concepts, and you know, Vernon's name had come up. They had asked about him, but you know, again, in all kinds of scenarios, players coming back, you know, different sets of salaries, contracts, things like that. Never got serious, just more in passing. And I have a real good relationship with Vernon. You know, he would text or call every so often, get an update from me. And, you know, I used Vernon as well with respect to getting information about other players we were trying to sign. He has obviously has a lot of ties and relationships in the league, so he may help me out with some of that stuff too. But I just have a think of the world of him, have a ton of respect for him. And then ultimately, after the winter meetings, you know, again, the same two or three clubs that just poked around, but never made any offers and never really got serious. Anaheim was one of those clubs. I remember getting back and calling Vernon. He was asking me about what was going on. And I told him, I said, look, Vernon, I don't want you to, our name, Toronto Blue Jays had so many names linked to us and so many players had been thrown into trade rumors. I just told him, look, you may see your name floating out there on the internet. I'm not having dialogue with clubs. I said, I've had two or three clubs just ask in some way or another, but never make me a proposal like that, but they just, you know, asked it like that in passing. So I'd rather you hear it from me than read about it on the internet and be surprised, because we would talk enough in the off season. He completely understood, and we just got on the topic, and he knew we weren't shopping him, and he certainly did not ask to be moved at all. And it just came up, and I asked him, you know, even if you were to consider something like that, what do you think? And he said, you know what, if you guys would ever, you know, change direction or feel like it made sense for you guys to do something like that, and it was for the betterment of the organization, he said, you know what, probably two places I'd be willing to go would be the Rangers and Anaheim. And I said, okay, and we left it at that. And then Anaheim, once they lost out on Adrian Beltre, they continued to pursue Vernon for a while. And just, again, a lot of dialogue. We couldn't get anything serious going. There was some concepts thrown out that just didn't make any sense to us at all. And finally, 2 weeks ago, things got a little more serious. And then last week, all of a sudden, things really accelerated and started to move to the point where the deal was presented and it made a lot of sense. And I got on the phone with Vernon on Tuesday night and told him, look, Anaheim's made a proposal that's very compelling to us, that one that if you were to say yes, we would think it would be better for our club to go ahead and do it. But at the end of the day, it's you've earned the right for your no-trade clause, and it's your decision to make with your family. And we understand both ways with what you want to do. We know you like Toronto and you enjoy it here. But you did mention if you ever were to consider it, there's two spots. This ends up being one of the spots, and it makes sense for us, and it very well could make sense for Vernon as well. So he has to sleep on it and pray on it and talk to his wife. And then the next morning he called me and said he would be willing to go through with it.
Alex, what was your discussion like with Vernon when the deal was made, when it was all signed off on and you know, and everything?
I think it was emotional in a way for Vernon, and you know, even you know, from my standpoint too, I remember flying to Vancouver for the caravan, and you know, you like to try to be as objective as you can and be emotionally detached as a general manager, but you're around the players so much, spring training, during the season, especially ones that have been in the organization a long time. And you know, Vernon's a guy, is a leader of this club. I leaned on him a lot to help out with a lot of things, you know, whether it was we needed certain things done from a player standpoint and so on. He was always very accommodating to anybody on our staff, anybody in the organization. You know, just like we had a mini camp with all these kids that had never come up to Toronto before, had never been in the big leagues. You know, Vernon asked me, he goes, you want me to be there? I said, you know what, Vernon, would it be nice? Sure, you don't have to take time off from your off season to come down. He goes, you know what, I'll be there, don't worry about it. And he didn't have to do that. He's, you know, he's making a lot of money. He's been in the organization a long time. He does plenty for us, plenty in the community. He jumped on a plane, came down, got on a bus, went to some of the other events, schools and things like that for the caravan. And that's just the type of guy he is. So, you know, he was a little nervous, I think, fear of the unknown, all of those things. But then he also realized that this might not be the worst thing for him and his family as well, and he was going to an organization that really, really wanted him, and that was something that he needed to know, how much the ownership group wanted him, how much the general manager wanted him, and what kind of fit it would be for him there. He had some ties to that team. He's very close with Torrey Hunter, and obviously it gets a chance for him to get home a little more often playing in the AL West where they get to play the Rangers. So I think it was tough. I mean, he's been in the organization a long time. He enjoyed his time here, loved the fans, loved the city as well. He told me as such. And it was going to be a hard move for him, but he also reiterated to me if we felt this was the best thing for the Blue Jays and the organization, that he was willing to go through with it.
Alex, did you know, now that this deal has happened, I mean, I referred in an article I wrote in the Globe today to a trade that Pat Gillick made when trading Bobby Abreu, And one of the things at the time he said is he just felt that it's sort of, and he didn't mean it to denigrate Abreu. It was just a matter of there were other guys in the team who were maturing, and he wanted, he sort of thought it was time that those guys, that the maturity process of that group of players kind of put them in a leadership role, and that they would frankly be more comfortable. And again, this isn't to denigrate Vernon, but that these guys might be a little more comfortable, you know, having the way cleared for them. Do you see that happening with this, with the group you have now? I'm thinking of guys like Ricky Romero and Aaron Hill, and it stands to reason that you'll probably have a few more young guys coming in. So do you see that happening now?
It's hard to say. There's no question there's going to be a large void in the clubhouse to fill. You know, Vernon being the longest tenured Blue Jay, the most accomplished Blue Jay. He certainly was the face of the franchise in a lot of ways, was the leader in the clubhouse, set the tone for the clubhouse. And I think players are going to take a little bit of time to find themselves because it's going to be so odd and so foreign. And after the trade was finalized, I talked to a lot of, I called guys like Aaron Hill, called guys like Jose Bautista, spoke to the guys that were on the caravan. You know, we had a private meeting, just myself and the five players that were on the caravan in Vancouver in a hotel suite for about 30 minutes and just laid it out in the line. And I asked them to feel free to, you know, to tell me what was on their minds. And you know, that, you know, people, you know, collectively they're going to have to all step up and find their way. And, you know, they won't be able to defer to anybody anymore because it's going to become their team collectively. I don't know that it's going to be one person, but they all can pull the rope and pull together, and they can all take on a more of a leadership role. And there's no question that that's part of their development as well. I think a lot of them are capable of that, and it'll be exciting to see how it develops. But I think they'll, just goes without saying, you take a presence like Vernon Wells out of the clubhouse, it's going to change it. And it's up to the players that we have to step up and continue to make it a great clubhouse.
Alex, how do things stand right now with Jose Bautista as far as negotiations go? Are they ongoing? Have they started? Where would you put them?
Well, you know what? It's one of those things, like, you know, we had, just as a policy, once we exchange a number, if we file a number, we're going to a hearing. I know, and the only scenario for any player that we wouldn't go to a hearing is if we were able to work out a multi-year deal. And then the caveat to that is that we don't talk about if we are
right,
or aren't doing multi-year deals. So, you know, just strictly based on that, you know, right now we have a hearing scheduled for both Jason Frazier and Jose Bautista. So their salaries will be settled one way or the other. And again, but we don't see it as an adversarial thing. It's just we couldn't philosophically agree on what the right raise for both players is. They will both get a raise just based off the number that we filed on both players. And the way I look at it is we just need a third party to make the determination for us. And for us, it's not a matter of winning and losing. It's a matter of finding out what the right salary is. And if the arbitrator feels that the player has submitted a salary that's more appropriate with what he should make, then we're fine with that. We're glad to pay it, and it's the proper thing. We're certainly not arrogant enough to feel that we know 100% that we're right or wrong. It's just a philosophical thing that'll get settled here soon.
Very quickly, Alex, before I let you go, are you done as far as moves are concerned? I mean, I know you never say never, but are there still free agents that interest you? Would you still like to do a little bit in the bullpen, or where do you stand right now?
You know, I think we're still just light things, small things. We're just poking, you know, just poking around and just taking a look at maybe some minor tweaks. We're always in dialogue to try to do bigger things. But again, you just, you know, just like the Vernon Wells thing, I mean, that dialogue had just gone on and off for months. So, again, we might be having just preliminary dialogue that may result in a deal come June or May. So I guess I would say free agency-wise and so on, we've still taken a look at maybe some minor league free agents, things like that, bench players of that nature right now, and, you know, trades. We always continue to try to have dialogue, but as you get closer to spring training, teams just are more reluctant to trade and just want to sit back and go into the spring with what they have.
Alex, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Okay, Jeff, really enjoyed it.
That was Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos. We'll take your calls 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. I think this is a great deal for the Blue Jays, not just in the future, but also this year. I think it clears up a lot of salary, obviously, but it also puts things in place for the 2011 season. I want to know what you think about it. Back with your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you
We're back. It is time now for the Jeff Blair Show bonus code. Fan Club members, enter the bonus code FREEDOM, as in what you get when you dispatch a guy with about 86 mil left in his contract to another team. Before 11:50 a.m. today at fan590.com for 590 points and your chance to win a romantic night for two at Monte Carlo Wins, including a jacuzzi suite, complimentary champagne, and more. That code again was FREEDOM. Visit fan590.com and enter it in the fan club for your chance to win now. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-660-590. Those are the numbers to call. We are rehashing. We are going over the trade of Vernon Wells to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim on Friday. And look, I felt the first thing when I heard that the deal was on, I couldn't believe anybody would take that contract. I certainly couldn't believe that the Jays could pull that off without sending some money along with it. It was absolutely just mind-boggling. And all you have to do is read some of the comments from Angels fans and some of the comments from the media in Los Angeles, you know, to figure out where they're going in the deal and to figure out what their reaction is to the deal. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. As far as I'm concerned, Mike Napoli, regardless of his batting average and the number of strikeouts he has, the guy who hits for power, he can play first base. You've just bought yourself some right-handed insurance against Adam Lynn not being able to play first base. You factor in that he's coming to a ballpark where generally, hitters can expect to take a jump in power. And you toss in the fact they have Juan Rivera, who's a useful corner outfielder, and maybe allows you to put Jose Bautista at third. Yeah, I don't see the downside. I think at the end of the day, it's almost a net gain offensively. And certainly when you're talking about saving money, and it's not saving money, it's reallocating the money. And here's the thing people need to realize, and I try to make this point in the Globe and Mail today. Here's the thing you need to realize. If this team is going to follow the path of the Minnesota Twins and Tampa Bay Rays, which is what everybody seems to want, the team is going to be built around young homegrown players. The team is going to have to deal with the realities of salary arbitration. And if this team is as good as Alex Anthopoulos thinks it's going to be, that's going to be quite a bite. Because those good young homegrown players, again, this is how Alex views it, are going to be playing so well and putting up so many impressive numbers that they're going to break the bank very early in the arbitration process. So you've got to have some money to spend in that. Now, you toss in the fact that the Jays have, I believe, 7 picks in the first 80 this year during the in the June draft. You've got a little money. You can definitely go over slot for a guy. Maybe even sign one of those Scott Boras clients who's going to make it in the majors in 2 or 3 years. So I don't see that this is necessarily as much of a deal for the future as everybody else says it is. I think it has immediate impact, an immediate effect in the team, and an immediate positive effect in the team. You know, and as far as dealing the face of the franchise and that goes, well, it's the face of a franchise that hasn't drawn many people to the ballpark lately. So clearly that can't be a factor. I mean, you cannot even look at that. You cannot, as a baseball fan, look at this and say that, wow, they dealt away the face of the franchise again. I mean, Roy Halladay was more the face of the franchise than Vernon Wells was. And that's not to denigrate Vernon Wells. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. It's not Vernon Wells' fault he got that contract. That was given to him. He just signed it. Jeremy Milton, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question. I know you're the resident expert on baseball, and I really enjoy your opinions.
Thank you.
In 2012, if we go by what we've heard in the past, the $120 million cap for the team, let's say they have $50 million to spend at that time. You just sort of burst my bubble by saying they're going to have to spend a lot of money in the interim. Who do you think of the classes that's going to be available in 2012 that they should target, either if nobody becomes a real closer or to get that 40 home run guy in the middle of the lineup? And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. Well, I mean, I'm looking at the potential free agent list. Prince Fielder, Albert Pujols, they're two that stand out immediately. I mean, I think Pujols will re-sign with St. Louis. Those are the two guys that stand out immediately. And look, I mean, as I look at Major League Baseball teams right now, I've got to think that the Los Angeles Dodgers, once they get their ownership situation straightened around, they're going to be a big player in free agency next year. So I've got the Dodgers. Okay, I got the Dodgers getting either Fielder or Pujols. You know, if Pujols becomes available as a free agent. I'm looking at second baseman. Robinson Cano is going to be back with the Yankees. Brandon Phillips, You know, the shortstops, Rafael Furquell, J.J. Hardy, Jose Reyes, interesting case. Third baseman, not so much there. Catchers, yeesh, Yadier Molina. Outfielders, Bobby Abreu, Carlos Beltran, Milton Bradley. So, you know, when you look at the free agent class for next year, there are guys you could probably put in. There are guys you could probably plop in, but I don't see that guy out there that the Jays can necessarily, realistically, expect to join them. I mean, I guess they can make a play for Prince Fielder, but I've got to think Prince Fielder, you know, will be looking to go to California or be looking to go to one of the quote-unquote higher-profile places. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. And that's what I mean when people automatically make the assumption that there's all this flexibility. I think the most important thing the Jays have to do first and foremost is try to trade for guys, try to get guys in the system, and go from there. And then when you're ready to contend, you can add a free agent. But I don't think you necessarily blow your brains out in the offseason in free agency, just based on the list of players that I see right now. And again, we don't know these. We don't know who guys who could end up being non-tendered. We don't know how that's going to work out. But, and this is why I think, looking at it from Anaheim's point of view, Anaheim is already, they were willing to spend money to get Carl Crawford or Adrian Beltre. So you've got to figure that, you know, they're prepared to take the hit with Vernon Wells because they were going to spend that money anyhow initially in the offseason. And they've looked ahead to the free agent list next year, and they've probably come to the same conclusion. Not a lot of great outfielders out there that you'd want to add by free agency. I mean, I look at the outfield list right now. Grady Sizemore, if he's healthy, to me, he's the only guy better than Vernon Wells. So if you look at it from their point of view, if you look at it from the point of view of the Angels, you can make a case for the deal as well. But I just think from the Jays' point of view, again, getting Mike Napoli and Juan Rivera, I think this is a more versatile team than it was last year. And, I think it's certainly a more cost-effective lineup. Patton Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Well, you are right. It is a more cost-effective lineup. When you look at the fact that Napoli's on a two-year contract and Rivera's on his last year. Now, what does that tell you about California wanting to retain him? Obviously, they didn't because he's on his last year. You got to give AA credit here for a young guy. He's done well. He's moved to Halladay and Markham, his last two opening day starters, right out of the American League and into the American League West, into the National League. And Lee, who he didn't have any really say on, moved out of the American League, and now Wells is in the American League West. I think this kid has done very, very well. He did this, you have to remember, the salary dump without giving up Drabeck. And to me, that's huge.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
You're looking at your number five starter this year, and I think this kid can do the job at number five, maybe number four. He just needs to pitch. You look at 2012, I'm not looking past this year right now. I think that there's still some moves that can be made. I'm not exactly sure where they're going to be made. But you know what? I got to give AA for a young guy all the credit in the world. He worked under Dombrowski, and he's showing through as a pedigree to me.
Or actually, he did not work under Dombrowski. He worked under he would have been in Montreal when Jim Beatty and Bill Stoneman were there.
Oh, okay. So, but
I mean, you know what? I'll tell you, Pat. I mean, you make a point because I mean, one thing I know about Alex does study other general managers, and a lot of the younger general managers do that. A lot of the younger general managers prepare for their jobs by watching what their peers have done, by watching what the most experienced guys have done, and I really do mean studying. I mean, taking notes about how they did things. I mean, reviewing cases, arbitration cases. One thing I know about Alex sat in on a number of arbitration cases involving players other than the Blue Jays leading up to getting the general manager's job, which you are entitled to do as a Major League Baseball executive. You can sit in as an observer, an arbitration hearing. So he did that. And I tried to make a little bit of a parallel today or draw a parallel between what Alex did with Wells and what Pat Gillick did with Bobby Abreu when he took over the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, take it as gospel that Alex talks to Pat Gillick a lot, that Alex talks to Pat Gillick through Paul Beeston, but that there is a lot of one-on-one conversation. And when you look at what Pat Gillick did with that Phillies team, when he traded Bobby Abreu, his thinking was, I have some guys here who are maturing as a group. I need one of them to step up and be the leader compared to a guy who played at a certain comfort level, which is what Vernon did. And I think what this does now is this clears the way, especially for Aaron Hill to assume a leadership role. And I'll tell you why that's significant. I think back to a conversation I had with Roy Halladay at the All-Star break in Roy's last year with the Blue Jays. And it was for a story I was doing on Aaron Hill. And he talked about Aaron Hill and said, you know what, when and if I go, we're already looking ahead, you know, it's going to be Vernon's team and it's going to be Aaron's team. Those are the two guys who are going to call the shots in the dressing room. And then it was interesting, and I didn't really realize what he's saying till about a year later. He said, and the thing with Aaron is always very deferential to his elders. He's deferential to Vernon. And when I thought about what Roy was saying, you know, coupled with some of the things I'd heard from other guys who played in the team about, you know, Aaron needs to be the guy on this team, but he's not going to do it as long as Vernon's there, just because he likes Vernon. He's deferential to Vernon. Vernon's got the big contract. You know, Vernon is a guy who is sort of assumed by tenure and by contract to be the leader of the team. So I think there's another element at work here that sometimes I think people overlook. Sometimes you make a deal as a general manager to clear the way, both for a younger player or to clear the way for somebody else to emerge. And you only have to talk to Alex Anthopoulos a little bit to realize he is a big fan of Aaron Hill, the player. And they really want Aaron Hill to have a good year this year. And then, you know, and they'll make the decision on the contract at that point. They've got some options. So I think that this is another element at work with this deal. You know, it's another way of sort of allowing other players to step up. I really do not see a downside to this deal. I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I do not see a downside. I don't think this team is worse this year without Vernon Wells and with Napoli and Juan Rivera. I don't think it's worse. I truly don't. And it did surprise me, some of the initial reaction, you know, in some of the websites and the blogosphere. Not all of them. I mean, a lot of fans, you know, I think the serious fans looked at it and had the same reaction I did. You know, they didn't have to send any money to make this deal work. They didn't have to send Kyle Drabik or a prospect to make this deal work. But where did this come from? But there was, and there is, another element of the fan base that says, you know, wait a minute, how come Rodgers is always professing to be willing to spend money to make this team win, and now they're trading away a guy who makes a lot of money? Like, wouldn't it make more sense to keep Vernon and add to Vernon when you're prepared to win? So I want to know what you think about this. Are you in that camp? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Those are the numbers to call. Back with more of your calls. We're talking Vernon Wells. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
We are going to get around to the Leafs. Fear not. Those hard-hitting Leafs carving up the dance floor across North America. We're going to talk to Howard Berger in the next hour, Sportsnet Fan 590 Leafs reporter. We're also going to talk to Rosh Madani, who's with the team in Carolina. We'll talk a little bit about the three-headed goalie system. And, we'll talk a little bit about Mike Komisarek's alleged turn on the dance floor in Los Angeles. Which, you know, it's an alleged incident, but boy, it sure does seem to sound pretty much sum up the Leafs season, doesn't it? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-660-590. Not to mention the endless possibilities for mirth and merriment it opens about truculence and stuff like that. But right now we're talking about the Vernon Wells trade, the Toronto Blue Jays on Friday, Alex Anthopoulos dispatching Vernon Wells and his contract to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for Mike Napoli, Juan Rivera, and a whole bunch of freedom, a whole bunch of flexibility. And I want to know what you think about it. I'm waiting for someone to call and give me a negative, because I know that there are those of you out there, because I read some of the interwebs, and I've seen some of the opinions. I want to know what you think. Come on, somebody's got to come up with a negative to this. Wallace and Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, I was just wondering, the third base situation now with the Blue Jays, what's going to happen? I heard that Joe Creede, proven winner, playing third base, signed with, I think it was the Rockies for a minor league deal. And I also heard Eric Chavez's name come up. Have you heard anything, or what do you foresee happening with that situation? I'll hang up and listen to you.
Well, I mean, as far as Eric Chavez goes, I mean, my understanding is the Jays will offer him a minor league contract, or may indeed have already offered him a minor league contract. You know, Eric Chavez doesn't do a thing for me, frankly. You know, I think a lot of things could happen, but right now I'm looking at it one of two ways. One, you will have Edwin Encarnacion on third base, or Jose Bautista will be at third base, and Juan Rivera, and some combination of Juan Rivera, Travis Snyder, Rajai Davis, that'll be the outfield. I think a lot depends there on whether or not Adam Lind, makes the grade at first base. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but I also think that Alex Anthopoulos is probably keeping his ears open for a deal involving a third baseman. But I don't get the sense that's a huge priority right now. I could be wrong, because I didn't think they would ever trade Vernon Wells, as I made the case in my interview with Alex Anthopoulos. The two trades that have absolutely stunned me, and I've been covering baseball since 87. The two trades that have absolutely stunned me were the Montreal Expos sending Delino DeShields to Los Angeles for a skinny little guy that no one knew they're going to make of him, and Pedro Martinez. And at the time, I ripped Dan Duquette for that deal. Absolutely savaged him, as did a lot of people in Montreal, with the exception, I might add, of Michael Farber. Now, Delino DeShields was like one of the guys in the team. He was one of the faces of the franchise. He was one of the good young core. And here they're bringing in this guy that was kind of skinny and nobody knew what to make of him. I remember Dan Duquette looking at me and saying, "It's very simple, Jeff. Power wins in baseball. Power wins, whether it's power pitching or power hitting." Well, I didn't buy that. I do buy it now, not just because of that deal, but from what I've seen. But I've got to say that I was so wrong about that deal. And I look at the Vernon Wells deal right now, and as I said initially, I think it's such a good deal from the Blue Jays' point of view. So take that for whatever it's worth. But as far as the third base situation goes, I think it's still up in the air. And, you know, the other thing you have to keep in mind is, and Alex made this point during the interview I did with him, as teams get closer to spring training, there's less of an urge to make a deal. As teams get closer to spring training, there's more a sense of, well, we're already this far. Let's see what we have. You know, let's see what our team looks like. Let's draw it up in paper. Let's see it in a couple of games, and let's go from there. So there is a possibility that once the Jays have seen exactly how their pitching depth shakes out, once they've decided what they're doing in the bullpen, perhaps they're, you know, a deal could be made for third baseman. Joe in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff. I've been listening to everything, and I know you want to hear a negative comment. I'll give you one in a second. From a financial point of view, it makes a lot of sense as far as getting rid of Vernon Wells. I like the guy. I've always liked the player. I thought he was always good. Contract-wise, maybe it wasn't worth the money he signed right now, but I think if you want to look at it from a negative point of view, it's time to move on. But from a negative point of view, he goes to California. He's in a new team with Torrey Hunter, new manager. I think the only negative I could see is if California gets over the hump with Vernon Wells and gets into the playoffs and he has a great year, people here will be screaming, saying, why'd you get rid of him? why'd you get rid of him? But from that aspect, I think him staying here, it really, like you said, makes really no difference between him and having Mike Napoli and Juan Rivera, which is an extra part, if you ask me. So I think that's the only negative I could see from him, this aspect, because he was a good ball player and a good person. But time to move on.
Yeah, and Joe, I think that is largely the sentiment of the fan base. You know, I think, and again, it's not entirely fair to Vernon, only because, as I made the point, all he did was sign the contract that was given to him. But what I find interesting about this, I think back to last year in spring training, and one of the things Alex Anthopoulos made very clear was that he was not going to make Vernon's contract an issue. You know, he wasn't going to talk about it off the record as an issue. He wasn't going to talk about it on the record as an issue. It was what it was. And as he said, Vernon Wells' contract isn't stopping us from doing what we need to do. That approach, I truly believe, helped expedite this deal, only in that it removed any sense Vernon may have had. And, you know, you think back to the year before last year, the relationship between Vernon and the fans was not great. Vernon did not have a good year. There was a lot of fan dissatisfaction. He was hearing it at the ballpark. You heard, you know, he knew that. The way the Blue Jays were able to sort of smooth that over in last season and end the season on a positive note and allow Vernon to make this decision, sort of feeling that, you know, he isn't being run out of town. I think a lot of the credit for that goes to Alex Anthopoulos, because I can tell you from covering baseball, a lot of times your coverage is structured by what you're hearing off the record, by what you're hearing behind the scenes. If you got a lot of people talking about a guy's contract and what an albatross it is and will never get out from underneath it, well, that sort of structures, that provides the background for what you write and what you report. And there was none of that last year. And you compare that to the Carlos Delgado situation. It's different, I understand, but you compare that to the Carlos Delgado situation and the fact that Vernon was able, you know, that the team was able to get Vernon to give in to this deal. I mean, it says a lot about how they'd structured the relationship with him. Dave and Guelph in Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to say when I was driving into work on Saturday, it was probably the best news that I had all day. I think Vernon was a decent ball player. I just don't ever think he was going to be the guy. And I think at that number that he had, 23 million or whatever it was, it was just too much, and he was never going to be that player. So I think to get rid of him was a great move. And even to get the players that got back was pretty darn good, I think.
Yeah, and you know, again, they're useful players. It wouldn't surprise me, frankly, if one of them, if not even both of them, are traded at the trade deadline. I mean, we don't know. But it's entirely possible. We know Mike Napoli was attractive enough to the Boston Red Sox last year that they claimed him on waivers at the deadline and would have, you know, and tried to make a deal for him. So you've got to also factor that in. There is a chance that one or both of these guys may be moved. As I said, Mike Napoli, a guy who can play first base and catch a bit, that's a pretty good addition to a team that's contending for a playoff spot. Mark and Brampton, you're in Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mark.
I love talking baseball, like usual, with you. I don't know, I guess I feel like I'm kind of like Switzerland on this deal. I'm almost positive that it's definitely a salary dump, and it gives Alex more, like, and he always likes to say he likes cost-efficient players. Napoli I'm okay with. Rivera, you know, he's a problem in KC. He's a problem, you know, I don't know. It's just, it seems like they gave up Vernon for two part-time players. And that really, you know, I can see Napoli in 2 years probably not being here. I don't know what Rivera's contract is.
He's a free agent after this. He won't be back next year either.
Yeah.
He may not finish the year with the Jays.
Yeah. So, Alex, yeah, he's very close to the vest. He doesn't give you really too much info. But,
Here's the thing, Mark.
It was definitely a salary dump.
If it was a salary dump, okay, they wouldn't be taking back $13 million in payroll.
No, I understand that, but for you know.
Or I'm sorry. Pardon me. I take that back. It's more like $10 million. Sorry.
Yeah. But for the didn't the Angels say, well, if we're going to make this deal, you got to take Rivera off our hands, and
yeah,
you know, and you know, like I said, both of them are, you know, part-time players, and like,
well, Napoli's going to be a full-time player in this team. And yeah, let's see what he does when he gets 500 at-bats. I mean, everybody thought Jose Bautista was a part-time player. So
right,
let's see what Napoli, and especially I'm interested in seeing, I'd like to see a guy, I'd like to see the guy play first base this year. Because he was a decent enough defensive player at first base. And
right,
a lot of people, a lot of scouts who saw him liked him much better at first base than they did behind the plate. So I want to see what he brings yet. I think he's an interesting part of the equation. Rivera, you're absolutely right. Rivera could, you know, he could be traded at the deadline. The one thing he does do, though, is it does open the possibility of Bautista going to third base.
So basically Rivera will be the everyday right fielder then.
If you do that.
Raja Davis is playing center.
And Travis Snyder's in left.
If
that's the way they want to go. I'm just saying it's a possibility. But if nothing else, I mean, Rivera, again, and this team had trouble hitting left-handed pitching last year. So, I mean, Rivera and Napoli can both hit left-handed pitching. Kyle in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff. So you're looking for something that, I guess, came out bad from this trade. And you're talking right now about Napoli, right? And how you'd like to see him at first. You know, the first thing that came into my mind, though, was here we are getting a catcher when we have this great prospect, Arencibia, who's ready to play in the majors, and we go and trade for a catcher who's going to clog up the middle and take playing time away from him.
Napoli played, I think, the last 72 games at first base last year for the Angels after Kendry Morales was hurt.
So you don't think he's going to play catcher at all?
Nope. I think he's more likely to be the first baseman. I think he may catch a bit, but I think he's more likely to be the first baseman. I'll put it this way. If J.P. Arencibia has a great spring, he's the everyday catcher. Doesn't matter who's in the team.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Doesn't matter who's in the team. The first thing I thought of as well, when I made that deal, I would have made the deal, actually. When the deal was made and I was looking at it, that was my first thing. Okay, catcher, Arencibia. But then the more you look at it, the more you sort of look at Napoli as being a guy who's going to play first and maybe catch a bit. So I don't think it'll have any impact one way or another in J.P. Arencibia. J.P. Arencibia is this organization's catcher, I think, next year. I don't think he's a catcher of the future. I think he's the catcher of now. Todd in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Todd.
Good. I personally think there's going to be a bit of a drop-off. I don't think the guys coming back are as good as Vernon. But I would say if you had the chance to make it, I would make that trade. But the fact that people are on Twitter anyways tweeting how they're elated to get rid of Vernon, like, you know, I don't pay his salary, so why would I care how much he makes? So, you know, like, he was a career Blue Jay, and I just hope, like, heck, that people don't boo him when he comes back.
You know what, Todd? I don't think he will get booed.
I hope not.
You know,
I
mean, and he better not, because here's the thing. The guy agreed to this deal. So if we're talking about whether or not Vernon Wells, and Todd, thank you very much for the call. We got to move on. We're up against the clock. But people who think that, you know, there's no need to boo Vernon Wells when he comes back. Vernon Wells made this deal possible by agreeing to it. So if anything, Vernon Wells, if you dislike Vernon Wells, Vernon Wells helped you by agreeing to this deal. So, the possibility of booing Vernon Wells, I mean, God knows it is Toronto, and we know how you love to boo people when they come back in this city. And we know that Vernon Wells' contract was an issue in the minds of a lot of fans. And we know that his performance a couple of years ago was an issue in the mind of a lot of fans. But there's really no point in booing Vernon Wells when he comes back. There really isn't. As I said, if anything, the guy deserves credit for not holding up the franchise, for not screwing around with the franchise the way other guys have done. Not just with the Jays, but with the Leafs. He made it easy for the Jays to make this move. And for that reason, I think you got to give Vernon Wells a certain amount of credit. And I really do hope that when he comes back, he does get the proper welcome. He was a good citizen while he was here. And he really, as I said, at the end of the day, helped make this deal possible. So there's absolutely no reason to hate in Vernon Wells. When we come back, we're going to shift focus to the Maple Leafs. Howard Berger, Arash Madani will join us. This is Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.